Let's turn again to the part of God's word that we read, Psalm 105. Psalm 105, and we would like to consider the passage from verse 36 to the end. So I'll read verse 36 and verse 45. Verse 36 of Psalm 105, He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. And verse 45, that they might observe His statutes and keep His laws, praise ye the Lord. Why does God save sinners? Why does the Lord help and deliver His people? The reason is given at the end of our text, that they might observe His statutes and keep His laws. Praise ye the Lord. This is the reason, so that He might have a people near to Himself, a people who will serve Him as His people. The Lord Jesus said, Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And all that the Lord does for His people, all that He has accomplished for them, all these things, all His goodness and kindness should motivate us to serve Him. And the more we think on His love and kindness, if we are His people, the more we will feel constrained to please Him and to give up ourselves in obedience to Him. And so tonight, with the Lord's help, we will try to think upon these verses before us, and to consider the provision of God for His people, and the reason He has provided for them is so that He might have a people to serve Him, that they might observe His statutes and keep His laws. Praise ye the Lord. And to guide our meditations, we will consider three statements, and the first is that God performs for His people. We find in verse 42, He remembered His holy promise and Abraham His servant, and He brought forth His people with joy, and so on. He performs for His people. Secondly, God provides for His people. Now, the people asked, and He brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. God provides for His people. And thirdly, according to the end of our text, God prescribes for His people. God doesn't leave the people to make up their mind what they like to do. God prescribes for His people that they might observe His statutes and keep His laws. Praise ye the Lord. Well, all of us should pray that we would be among the Lord's people, that each of us, that you, friend, would trust in Christ for salvation, that you would be covered by His righteousness, that you would have a full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience to walk with God in all the ways of His commandments. That is a blessed place to be, that they might observe His statutes and keep His laws. Praise ye the Lord. First of all, God performs for His people. And this psalm before us is a historical psalm. It is similar to Psalm 78 and Psalm 106. Psalm 78 is historical, but emphasizes the sins and failings of God's people and God's forbearance toward them. And Psalm 106 has been called a national confession, which reveals the sins of God's people in their history, to bring them to repentance. But the psalm before us, being a historical psalm, sets forth God's care and His kindness for His people. And this should bring His people to praise Him. Praise ye the Lord. And to seek His strength for time to come. The psalm is probably by David, since part of it, the first 16 verses or so, is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, where David gives, it appears that David gives this particular psalm, or this part of the psalm, to be sung at the occasion of the bringing up of the Ark of the Covenant from the house of Obed-Edom. So the psalm before us, probably written by David, commemorates Israel's deliverance from Egypt and God's care for his people, as we see very specifically during their wandering in the wilderness and bringing them into the promised land. And David exhorts the people to seek God's strength. Verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength, God's omnipotence. We are weak in ourselves, but we are encouraged to seek God's grace, that we would be strengthened to do his will. And we are to seek God's face. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Not only to seek his presence and his power, but to seek his comfortable presence, to seek that we would enjoy his favor in our souls. Seek his face, shine on us with thy face. That is a prayer that God's people will find themselves praying, and they are encouraged to pray that prayer. Shine on me, lift up the light of thy countenance, cause me to enjoy thy favor in my soul, thy favor which is life. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Well, the psalm is making known how God has remembered his covenant, verse 8, and that he has fulfilled his word, which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant, verse 9, he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and so on. He promised that he would give the people of Israel the land of Canaan, verse 11. And that was when they were but a few men in number. But he promised to give them the land, and he kept his word. He fulfilled his promise. He brought them into the land of Canaan. Back to our portion tonight, verse 42, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. So God fulfilled his promise, and he performed his word. He accomplished what he said he would do for his people. We find in Exodus chapter 2, God fulfilling his promise that people of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage they were in, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel and had respect unto them, and that is when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush and sent Moses to help deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. So God performed his word. And that's what we start with tonight. God performs for his people. He himself delivers them. He brings them forth with joy and so on. He gave them the lands of the heathen. God performs for his people. He accomplishes his promises. He fulfills his word. And this should encourage us to plead the promises. If God gives a clear demonstration of his remembering his holy promise, keeping his word and promise to his people, we should be encouraged to go to the word and take the promises and bring them to the Lord at the throne of grace and ask him that he would remember his word to us, that he would fulfill his word to his servant. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Do as thou hast said. Fulfill thy word even to me in my case. And we should think about his promises, and such promises that include God's provision for his people. And that brings us to the second point. God provides for his people. God performs for his people. God provides for his people. So we read that in verse 36, he smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. God stood on the side of his people. He defended his people. He destroyed Egypt so that he might deliver Israel. And he smote the chief of all their strength. And perhaps we can find a picture in this of God slaying the power of sin in the people, in the hearts of his people. Sin is a great force, and sin is too hard for us. It's like the firstborn, and the only way that it can be restrained is by a death blow being dealt to sin. And so that is what God does. He sends his spirit and he slays the enemy. Sin in our souls, it's not completely dead. And Egypt was not completely destroyed when the children of Israel left Egypt. But he slew the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. And that is a great comfort to God's people, that he himself slays the enemy. And he gives the grace to overcome and to fight his battles. And so we should resist sin and we should fight sin, knowing that the victory is from the Lord and that the battle is of the Lord. And he gives the grace. And we're to mortify sin, not in our own strength, not by our own power, but by the Holy Spirit. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We should plead the promise, sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace, and it is the grace of God that gives the victory. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives the victory. He gives deliverance. How we should pray then that he would fulfill his promise to us and provide for us his grace and his strength. Seek the Lord and his strength. And in verse 37, we see that he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. He brought them forth. When the children of Israel did leave Egypt, they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And no, the children of Israel didn't borrow and never return, because the word in the original simply means to ask. They requested such things as would help them in their journey. And the Egyptians were more than happy to give them whatever they wanted. They were so ready for the Israelites to go. Egypt was glad when they departed, verse 38. And so God richly provides for his people. And it is not true that every a believer can expect a chest full of gold. It's not a prosperity gospel that we preach. But a spiritual prosperity is what we can expect. If we're the Lord's people, we should pray that he would fulfill these promises of giving us all that we need for time and for eternity, and above all, the riches of his grace, because God is rich in mercy. And that is what he promises. And that's what he exhorts us to seek from him. What did Jesus say to the Laodiceans? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And of course, we don't bring any money to the Lord for to receive grace from him, because grace is free. But we're to buy of him, we're to take from him as if we were buying, we're to come with the intention of receiving, because he alone can give us that which we have so great need of, the riches of his grace. So the Lord tells us in his word, and he gives us this promise as well, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There are the riches of his grace that he provides. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Well, the Lord strengthens his people. If they had a journey to take, he gave them the strength to take it. If God commands us to do a duty, will the Lord leave us at our own charges? We have to make bricks without straw? No, he gives us the grace. If we have a journey to take, a spiritual journey, he will give us the grace to take it. So we should be encouraged. Whatever God commands, he promises to give us the grace in order to fulfill his commands. Not one feeble person among their tribes. And again, verse 38, Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. And in Exodus chapter 15, verse 16, we read, fear and dread shall fall upon them. This is upon the enemy. The enemies are shaking in fear of God's people. They know, if they know anything at all, like they should, they know that they cannot win. They cannot prevail. They will try. But that's what we read, that the enemies of God's people were in fear when the children of Israel marched toward them. And so God promises in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 25, there shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said. Satan cannot win the battle. He's a defeated foe, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And he promises to take care of his people, just as he took care of his servants or the patriarchs early on. He said, when they were going from nation to nation, verse 14, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. As we considered with the young people last night, the Lord dearly loves his people, and he says to them, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. That's how much he cares for his people. That's how much he loves them. They are precious in his sight, and anyone who attacks them, he is ready to defend them and to overwhelm the enemy with his power, his destructive force to conquer the foe, standing up for his people. Touch not mine anointed. And in verse 39, again, God is providing for his people. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The Lord goes before his people. They are not to direct their own paths, but he leads them. And when the pillar of cloud moves forward, then the camp moves forward. When it stops, then the camp stops. God leads his people by his word and providence, and it is a light to them. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So we're to go to the word. God gives direction and instruction in his word. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. And God provides for his people's needs in temporal things as well as spiritual things. You look at the history in Exodus, you find the people murmuring when they were asking, but God still provided for them. He gave them the quails, he gave them the manna. And no doubt there were godly people among them who were asking submissively, and the Lord heard their cries and satisfied them. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. God promises his people spiritual refreshing. As we remind ourselves of that precious promise in Isaiah 41, verse 17, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. So God promises with many, many promises to give rest to his people, strength, refreshing, and comfort from the God of consolation. And we read in verse 43, he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. When the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea on dry land and saw their enemies swallowed up, they were saved, they were delivered, they rejoiced. And sometimes the Lord gives his people an experience of gladness where they see his goodness and they are enabled to give thanks. But the joy of the Lord is something we should cherish deep in our souls, that inward satisfaction and delight in God. And pray that he would give us that joy, even though we may be in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of our faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, as Peter says, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But we're to look to the Savior, as he says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And if the Lord's people do not feel at this very moment that joy sensibly in their souls, they should pray for it and plead the promises. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Remembering that the joy of the Lord is your strength. If we're full of sorrow or always downcast, then we're weakened. But it is the joy of the Lord that motivates, that love that we have to the Lord that constrains us. And it's his love to us when we lay hold on it, laying hold on his love that draws us, that constrains us. And before we move on to the last head, we read that he gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. God had punished the Canaanites for their sin. He had exercised forbearance toward them for hundreds of years until the iniquity of the Amorites was full. And then he destroyed these people for their sin, and God gave them their land. God gave Israel the land of Canaan, and they entered a place that was already cultivated, a land flowing with milk and honey. Has not the Lord given us many things that were already prepared for us? We think about the means of grace. We think about the privileges of his house and the heritage that has been passed on to us. Others have labored, and we have entered into their labors, and we should be thankful for the banner that is over us. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. And so we come in the last place to consider this, which is the reason why God saves his people, the reason God delivers his people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Thirdly, God prescribes for his people. God doesn't save us just to let us go our own way, does he? No. God prescribes for his people, and this is a blessed thing. The Lord's people don't want to be left to go their own way. They know how many mistakes they would make. They know how much trouble they would bring upon themselves. Oh, they don't want to go their own way. God prescribes. He directs. They are his people, his chosen. And as we read in Ephesians chapter 1, they are chosen in Christ that they might be holy. And they are delivered, we find here, that they might observe his statutes. And do you know what the word statute means? That which is prescribed. That they might observe his statutes. It means that which is prescribed and that which is owed. And we owe to God this obedience, to obey what is due to him, to give what is due, and that is obedience. What has God prescribed? Various duties to perform. What about this one? Do unto others as ye would have them do unto you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. These are God's statutes. These are things that we really owe to the Lord. And so if you're wondering, well, where are God's statutes and his laws? Well, they're found in his word, page after page. And these are not burdens after burdens. No, they're the statutes that the Lord's people love. They love to read the Sermon on the Mount and to listen to the Lord Jesus open up the law and to show us what it is to build upon a solid foundation and not on the sand. If we ignore the words of Christ, we're building on the sand, and the storm will come and there will be a great collapse. Our house will fall. But if the Lord Jesus said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So how we should pray for the grace and the love of Christ that would constrain us to observe his statutes and keep his laws, that we might keep them, we might guard them, protecting God's commandments. Imagine someone put the Ten Commandments on the door of this church building, and then some bullies try to knock it down. How zealous you would be. Don't you dare take these Ten Commandments off the church door. How much more zealous should we be about having God's commandments in our hearts, that we would hide God's word in our hearts, that we would have all Ten Commandments written in our hearts. How precious the law of God should be to us, and it is to every one of God's people. There's not one of God's people to whom God's law is not precious. Every one of God's people love the law. Paul says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And some of the Lord's people may be afraid to say that they can say that. They might say, well, I hope I love the law of God. But if they're the Lord's people, they do. Deep inside them, they love the law of God. They love his commandments. They want to obey him. And we're not his friends if we don't. As the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the Lord's people want to keep God's commandments. And it's when they are filled, or at least have a sense of the love of Christ, that they feel that desire to keep his commandments. They want to obey him. And the Lord sends his servants to proclaim his word. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Praise ye the Lord. This is why the Lord saves his people. That's why he gives us the heritage. That's why he gave them the lands of the heathen. And they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Well, do we desire to obey him? Are we his sheep? Do we hear his voice and follow him? Do we seek his commandments? Do we seek and try to obey him, to bear fruit, to watch over our hearts and pray to be kept, going to the cross, going to the blood of Jesus for washing and washing and renewing again and again and again? Well then, seek him. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. And you also should seek the Lord. If you're not converted, well, think about God's goodness even to you. And what should the goodness of God do to you? It should lead you to repentance. It should lead you to obedience. So seek him and seek his grace. God says to you, seek ye me and ye shall live. Seek ye me and ye shall live. Amos chapter 5, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. And come to the Savior. None perish. Let him trust. May he bless his word. Let us pray.